The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus Christ. I hope this season of Lent is full of lots of temptations for you. Might sound kind of strange that Father is hoping you have lots of temptations, because we usually think of temptations as not a good thing. As things that can lead us away from God, that can lead us into sin, that can lead us into things that aren't good for us. So we would usually rather just avoid temptations. In fact, that's what we pray in the Our Father, just lead us not into temptation. Just keep those temptations and difficulties away from us. And yet, for the 40 days of Lent, we kind of add temptations to our plate. We, like Jesus, we go out into the wilderness. As it says in the gospel, Jesus went out there to be tempted by the devil. Jesus isn't surprised that the Holy Spirit led him out there and, oh no, the devil's here as well. I'm going to have to go through something. He goes out there to pick a fight, to go face to face with the one that led our first parents, Adam and Eve, away from God. So Jesus is okay going into this time of temptation, not because the temptation themselves are good, but by persevering through them, by enduring them, he actually strengthens his own faith and trust in God, our Father. In fact, I think that's actually the reason why God even made the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden in the first place. He didn't set it there as a trap, hoping that Adam and Eve would fail. He didn't even put it there so they could show in some way their love to freely choose to follow God. Put it there, I would say, quite literally as a temptation. He wanted them to be tempted, again, not so that they would fail, but so that even in the midst of that temptation, they could trust in God's goodness and his providence. What happens when the cunning serpent shows up is that they do not have that strong faith and trust in God. They can't turn to each other for whatever reason for help, and they certainly don't feel like they can turn to God for his strength. And instead, they look at what appears to be good, even though they know it is evil. They take it and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They rebel against God, thinking that will cause death right away, and they don't die right away, but they're banished from the garden and led to a path of repentance. So what would it have looked like if they would have been okay with this temptation? What would it have looked like if Adam and Eve would have overcome this temptation in the garden? I actually think it would have looked a lot like what Jesus does in the gospel. That instead of relying on themselves or seeing what was looking good in their eyes, they would have trusted above all else in the word of God. They would have trusted that God could provide for them even if they didn't understand how that was going to happen. So I actually think that's what Jesus shows us in the gospel. That he rejects all these temptations of the evil one, the temptation to rely on his physical desires, to turn these stones to bread so he can satisfy his hunger. He rejects the idea that he needs to provide for his own protection and comfort, testing God to see if he'll send the angels to save him. And he rejects the temptation to want all the kingdoms of the world. I don't know, I think that last temptation is a little more than just him wanting to be and being tempted by power and fame. I think it's actually also the devil saying, well, if you want to get rid of all the wars and all poverty and hunger, well, here you go. Here's all the things of the world. You can make everything perfect. Just worship me. Jesus sees through that temptation and he overcomes it, not because of his own abilities, but because of his faith and trust in God. That his one job is to worship the Lord and to serve him above all else. So even if good things are going to come by worshiping the devil, he cannot do that. Because it would break basically the number one rule. But in this temptation, I think Jesus shows us what God's plan is for us during Lent. It's not just to choose the right thing and to kind of survive these 40 days without sinning or giving into our desires. It's actually what happens at the very end of today's gospel. But it says, then the devil left him and the angels came and ministered to him. Presumably this means they came and brought him some food. They gave him what he needed physically. But I think it's also showing us that Jesus' trust in God was not unwarranted. And he couldn't see it. He couldn't realize it in the moment of temptation. But as soon as the temptations are past, God does provide for Jesus. He gives him exactly what he needs and actually strengthens that faith and trust in the Father. It's not that God's going to keep testing Jesus over and over and over again until he finds his breaking point. But he wants to help him through those temptations to have enough faith and trust in God to face anything. So I think for us, those moments of temptation, of noticing our own physical hunger, maybe on days of fasting like Ash Wednesday or when we want to eat meat on Fridays, maybe it's in moments in our day when we notice the things that we gave up for Lent. Those are little moments of temptation. I would say it's actually good that we are tempted. Not so that we can fail, so that in that moment we can say, God, I don't want to trust in this thing. I don't want to rely on the strength of my body. I don't want to rely on my physical desires and wants. Instead, I actually want to rely and trust in you. I think every time we do that, every time we overcome those temptations in Lent, God actually sends his angels to minister to us, to give us what we truly need, maybe not that thing we want in the moment, but actually to provide for us and show that we can trust him more the next time. I think when we consider temptation in that way, this moment of Jesus's temptation in the desert isn't just about him surviving. It's not about him just getting through those 40 days in the desert and then kind of shrugging off these three temptations and then God gave him what he needed and he moved along. But instead, this moment in the wilderness becomes a preparation for the cross. But I wonder if as Jesus is carrying the cross and going to Calvary, if he's actually remembering this moment in the desert. Not so much remembering the temptations themselves, but remembering what happened afterwards. Remembering that even when he probably felt abandoned in his hunger and his need, that God did notice him. Even though it seemed like he was abandoned, he wasn't. That even when he felt like he needed something physically in that moment, as long as he trusted in God and persevered, God actually sent the angels to provide for him. Even though Jesus couldn't foresee how that was going to happen, he trusted that God would provide for him. I wonder if on the way to Calvary, that is the thought that kept going on in Jesus' mind. He said, Lord, just like I trusted you in the desert to provide for me, I trust that right now, even rejected by everyone around me, even being physically weak and beaten, even if I don't really understand how you're going to do it, Lord, I trust that you will still send your angels to minister to me, that you'll actually still provide for me if I trust in you. I think that's what Lent is supposed to do for us, that it is meant to be a time that we go out into temptation, that we bring those into our daily lives and we try to face them. Maybe not perfectly like Jesus does, but to face them in a way that leads to us putting our faith and trust in God our Father. Say, Lord, I don't need to rely on these earthly things, on these things that are momentary, that are not eternal. But instead to trust like Jesus that even if I don't really see how, I trust that you will provide for me in your goodness. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that as we face whatever temptations pop up this week, we can do so with great faith and trust in God. Like Jesus, those temptations won't be like tests to drive us away from God, but instead moments to strengthen our faith in him. Instead be moments to see that he can provide for us. And if we reject those temptations of the evil one, that like Jesus in the desert, he will send his angels to minister to us so that we can face anything in life with faith in him. So that when we come to the joy of Easter, it's not just a time to forget about what we gave up for Lent. It's a time to be led towards eternal life, that life of perfect faith and trust in God, our Heavenly Father.